Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. This week, we're heading to São Paulo for one of the most iconic and unpredictable events on the calendar. The Brazilian Grand Prix at Interlagos, known for its dramatic weather swings, elevation changes, and passionate fans, this race has delivered some of the most unforgettable moments in F1 history, and 2025 is shaping up to be no different.
To make things even more exciting, it's a sprint weekend, which means we'll have only one practice session, a Friday sprint qualifying, and an all-important sprint race, followed by the main qualifying session, which, based on the most recent predictions, has the highest chance of taking place in the rain, that could completely reshuffle the grid before Sunday's main event. The compressed schedule always rewards teams that can adapt quickly. And at a circuit as unpredictable as Interlagos, that's a recipe for chaos.
The championship battle is tighter than ever, with Lando Norris leading Oscar Piastri by just a single point and Max Verstappen still very much in striking distance. Let's get into our sprint predictions first. I feel bad because I think last sprint race I got to go first, but on
You did.
sprint pole, it's a little wild. I'm going to put Lewis Hamilton.
Yes, but before we even go into my sprint poll, you know that you're going to go n again in Qatar?
Oh,
So you're going to do all the sprint races first. I just want this noted
we
because.
can change it up if you want, so I
No,
can
no, no,
do.
no. No,
Okay,
it's
all
all
right.
fair. It's all
Okay,
fair.
all right.
So, but the especially since I wasn't going to put Lewis Hamilton on pole, I mean, sprint poll or actual poll. So that's going to be
So
available.
see,
Please
that's
go
not
ahead.
gonna impact your prediction.
Not at all. But I'm conflicted because I think, as I said, weather forecasts can change on a dime, and especially Interlagos is very unpredictable. But for now, the highest chance of rain is on Saturday. Qualifying for sprint, it's going to be in the dry. I'm going to go with Lando Norris.
That is a very reasonable and probably very likely prediction.
All right.
Well, I'm torn on my sprint winner because I would love for Hamilton to obviously be sprint winner and convert like he did in China earlier this year. Although I think realistically it's going to be more of a battle between Lando and Max, even though I think last year Oscar won the sprint, if I recall correctly.
Well, actually, I'm going to check that, but I just want to say I believe in Brazil last year, Oscar was told to let Lando go through because this was the weekend that McLaren finally decided to put Lando first.
Right.
Unfortunately, his
Ugh.
performance in the race kind of put the whole thing moot. What was most interesting is that in Qatar, the last sprint race of the season last year and this year, but last year, Lando was gonna win it, and he specifically gave the place back to Oscar because he said that he wanted to make sure that he returned the favor.
Well,
So that
I
was that's why like last year set us up, right, for this amazing
Right. I would not expect that type of consideration to happen this year, given how close they are.
No.
All bets
They're
are
one
off.
point apart. There's McLaren and their favorite boy is leading. They probably would want to put Lando first, but I don't think that makes sense. Sorry, I'm just taking a while to get these results. I just want to confirm that my recollection is correct.
Okay.
Because one thing I'm surprised how much I remember about Brazil last year, because it was so insane.
Well, it was a wild race, especially the final podium.
Well, yeah, the race was interesting, but the sprint I don't think was as fascinating. Yeah, Norris is listed as the winner, but I think we both remember Oscar being faster. It's just
Okay.
he followed team orders and he did get the pole. But given his current form, he's not getting pole this time, I don't think. But if he
Well,
does, I'm very happy. All
I
right,
will
so
be
for
thrilled thrilled if Oscar happens to land on pole, though.
Right. So I'm gonna for my sprint winner.
Oh, hold on. I haven't given you mine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you did. I apologize.
Nope,
Please go
that's okay.
ahead.
I am torn between Lando and Max. And since I'm throwing out long shots, I'm going to hope Hamilton converts sprint pole to sprint win.
See, that's what I thought you were going for, so I thought you
I
already
know.
said
Well, I
it.
almost changed it to give it to Oscar or Lando because I'm not putting Max first, since apparently I happen to name that correctly more often than not.
It's usually for the race, but I grant you that's okay. I'm gonna put him first.
Okay. Good.
Mostly because I think again.
Wait, you're putting Max first or you're putting Lando or
No,
Oscar?
I'm putting Max first. Mostly
Okay.
because I wanna give him false hope that he's
Ah,
gonna
fair.
prevail in Brazil. So he wins the sprint, he thinks he's untouchable, and then
The
chaos.
rain
Well,
happens.
he's usually really great in the
He's good
rain,
in the rain.
but so that's why I'm not putting Ferrari on the podium. Hint, hint. Anyway.
Well, they seem to land there when you don't put them there. So
That's
maybe
fine.
keep your streak up.
I would love for them to land there. Don't get me wrong. I guess I always say I want your predictions to come true. I'm not opposed to it. I don't see it. All right. So for the pole position, who do you, in the main race, who do
In
you
the main
have?
race, I was going to give that one to Lando.
And you're right. So listen to my insanity. So I think for this race to be really good, I want the reverse of ha what happened in 2024, which means Lando was first, Max was 17th, and Lando did not land on the podium or anywhere close, and Max was first. So going with that logic, which is not logical, I'm gonna put Max Verstappen in pole position, but hint, he's not winning.
There you go. Well, that would work out. But P3, this will come as no surprise. Lewis Hamilton, P3.
If he wasn't in a Ferrari, I think you would
I know.
have a perfect case because he's great in the rain. He's great in Brazil. Last year, this is so sad because it was the first year I was watching live. He had a horrible Brazil, so he deserves redemption. The problem is he's in a Ferrari that doesn't like the rain. And
I
my point
know.
is he could be amazing in the race. I just don't see him qualifying high in the rain. So that's why, I mean, again, look at what happened last year.
True.
So he, if anyone can come through the field in the rain, it would be Lewis, but in Ferrari. Good luck. That's all I'm gonna say. So for my P3, oh my God, this is so tough. Well, it's definitely not gonna be a Ferrari driver, so that means they're probably gonna be ending up there. I'm gonna put Lando Norris.
I almost thought you were going to say Lance Stroll.
He may come close, but he's not gonna be P3.
I heard the law. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to really throw out something bold and
Well,
put.
remember last year he went into the gravel on formation lap. And it just be clear, he spun out, wasn't on
On
the
his own.
gravel,
On his
and
own.
he just like willingly went on it. So,
Yes,
yeah,
that was
I mean, he
terrible.
deserves a redemption, but I don't think podium. But for
He'd have to
P,
want a redemption.
correct. For P2, I'm gonna put, I really want Oscar to be on it. But I honestly don't think he'll get there. It's always going to be like, there's always going to be, there's always a surprise, right? So
Yes, Brazil is
who?
full of surprises.
I really want to put Bearman on it because I feel like he deserved it.
Oh, he was close last time.
Yeah, but he's in the Haas, which has a Ferrari engine. Are they good in the rain? Not based on this year.
Lance Stroll for P2.
Stop giving me ideas. They're great.
Maybe Hadjar makes a comeback and gets his second podium of his rookie
You
season.
know what? You want a rookie? I'll give you an rookie. He better deliver. Kimi Antonelli.
Well, there you go. He'll be higher than George Russell.
He'll be higher than George Russell. Exactly. All right, Aaron, who's your P2?
Okay, so I have Hamilton P3, P2. I will go with Max.
Okay, thank you.
because I don't see him not on a podium in Brazil based on the tear that he's been on, which then I will put Lando P1.
He's gonna kill Oscar chances of winning the championship if
Ugh,
he's
I know it
P1.
crushes my soul, but I would love it for it to be Oscar. And this is my inner battle of what I would like to happen versus what reality will tell me.
Very fair. So in that spirit, I'm gonna put Max Verstappen in P1. So far, none of my P1 predictions ever came true. So I'm hoping to keep the streak alive. So he's gonna be
Let's
my P1.
hope so. Okay, so you have Max, Kimi, Lando.
Correct.
Okay. I have Lando, Max, Hamilton.
Yes.
All righty. So I have Hamilton P3. I'm going to put Charles P5 because I'm going to put Oscar P4.
Oh my God, we have the same P4. But in my world, there's only going to be what, 3 points difference between him and Lando, so he's still in the
He's still in
hunt.
the hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I love that you put Charles Leclerc in P5. But let's be realistic. Really? You know what? For the
Yeah,
first.
he's got an engagement celebration. He's going to be flying high in Brazil.
And he's still in the Ferrari, and we know how he does in the rain. Again, I don't think if it's a dry race, I think he actually can do pretty well. I just don't see him qualifying high in the rain. So I'll give him, so you put him in P5. You know what? I'll put Lewis Hamilton in P5,
Okay.
and I put Charles Leclerc in P6. Yes, for the first time
Whoa.
ever, I'm predicting him to be lower than Lewis. It's Brazil. There's going to be rain involved. Just makes sense.
It does. And so our best of the rest wild card predictions. What do you have?
Well, I'm gonna keep putting Ollie Bearman in Q3, and okay, he's either gonna be top 8 in the sprint or top 10 in the race, hopefully
Okay.
both. So he'll get some points. The reason why it's kind of wild is because I don't think Haas does well in the rain, but given his current form, let's manifest it for him.
Didn't Kevin Magnussen get pole in a Haas
Oh my God, that was a
like
magic.
years ago?
So that was, yeah, it wasn't actually, it was in 2022.
Yeah.
So it is years ago. But in Günther Steiner's book, he mentioned that they were the first team to set this lap before the weather condition changed. So he himself said, like, this was such a fluke because literally there was only one chance to get that fast of a time. And there was the only team with Kevin Magnussen who could do it.
Well, crazy things happen in Brazil.
Right. So, and then obviously, based on where I put Kimi Antonelli, back to my Kimi will outperform George Russell.
I love it. I am going to put, well, let's see. I'm going to put Fernando Alonso, P6. That man needs a redemption drive. I'm hoping Aston can recover. I'm really hoping Alex Albon lands in the top 10.
You
That
do
guy
remember him,
needs.
right? He needs a lot of
Oh,
redemption, but you do remember him
I
saying that
know.
his Williams is not good in the rain.
I know. I
Okay,
know.
well,
And he, I'm
he might
just,
not believe it, but you believe it, and
I
I
believe
love
it.
that.
Listen, I've had Ferrari on podiums for the past couple, and Charles landed on him. Lewis got close. You know, hopefully, no stupid
Okay.
penalties for anyone in Ferrari.
Well, I just have one for you then. Lance Stroll in the top 10.
Ooh-hoo. He'll be so appreciative of that, Nina.
Well, I just think, as you said, there's rain. And by the way, it could be top 10 sprint, which means he may not get a point, but he'll be in top 10.
But top 10, there you go.
Or the race, but at some point, he'll be in top 10 just for you. Because sprint is going to be in the rain. And we saw the sprint in the rain in Miami, and that was a
That was
disaster
wild.
zone,
Yeah.
but which was fun, except. No more Charles Leclerc, like going like aquaplaning, right? There wasn't even
Oh,
formation left. That was reconnaissance lap.
reconnaissance lap.
That
That
was
was
the race when we learned that
terrible,
term because I didn't
right?
realize something could happen before the formation lap. Because let's not forget, didn't watch this season. It's like in 2023, he managed to crash in on the formation lap. So he's
Yeah,
done it all.
he did. Yes, he did do that. I did watch that one live.
I
Speaking
can't even
of
imagine.
some drama, let's spill the grid because there is so much that has been going on off track. Racing News reported that Franco Colapinto will stay at Alpine. Flavio Briatore said in recent interviews that, quote, he has improved a lot lately and has been at Pierre Gasly's level for four races. The announcement is expected this weekend.
Just because Flavio Briatore said something does not mean it's gospel, but
Really? You're not
right.
gonna take him at his word?
What a shocker. Not really. The announcement at the only South American Grand Prix makes a lot of sense. However, can we just take a moment to acknowledge poor Jack Doohan, who wasn't given a chance?
Ugh, yeah.
And I think if you gave him as many races as Franco Colapinto now has, he may have proved to be equal to him, but we will never know.
I know, it's just too bad. I feel like him and Nyck de Vries just fall into this very unfortunate bucket of drivers.
I actually think I feel worse for Doohan than I do for Nyck de Vries, because Nyck de Vries was a lot older, has already won other series, so he had a lot of experience. Granted, not an F1, doesn't really equate with F1. So I think there were a lot more expectations for Nyck de Vries, and he really didn't show anything. Franco Colapinto really wasn't on anyone's radar until Williams put him in the seat for a few races last year, and he
Right.
did come out guns blazing, which was amazing. This was the race last year where he kind of went off and still is probably recovering his form. So I'm sure he has some PTSD. But I think if he knows that he has a seat for next year, hopefully it'll give him some confidence.
That would be great. This one I don't love. It is pure speculation, but supposedly Ferrari is not going to extend Lewis Hamilton's contract beyond 2026. And Hamilton could be replaced by Oliver Bearman.
I think that's not as bad as it sounds because, as we've covered before, there's a lot of speculation about Leclerc leaving Ferrari after 2026, which means their car is horrible. So maybe the reports are saying this because they know if the car doesn't perform to or doesn't look to be in championship winning position, why would Lewis stay?
I don't see him wanting to stay, but I know he's not going to be ready to be done racing. So we'll see what happens there because there's a lot of rumors around Ferrari. And there are rumors surfacing that Yuki is potentially going to go to IndyCar and get a seat there in 2026, along with Romain Grosjean, with the same team as the one interested in Yuki. Is it Dale Coyne?
I believe so.
Dale Coyne Racing?
That's the name. I've never heard of them, but I don't really follow
I don't follow
IndyCar.
Indy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's good to hear that he has options because I think it's pretty clear he's not going to be an F1 next year. So if he's already lining up a seat somewhere else, that's great. That gives him something to look forward to. Can
Yeah, I think that's smart of him.
I just mention one thing about Ferrari and Ferrari
Sure.
car? There was a report that I just saw about Ferrari car for 2026 having a pull rod system. I don't know if you've kept track. It's been a little bit of a technical kind of discussion, but apparently Ferrari have been trying to make push rod suspension work for years. It
Interesting.
hasn't worked for years. And guess what? They decide to go back to pull rod, which apparently the last time they used was in 2010. Right. And another interesting thing about Ferrari is that they claim that the 2026 car will have almost nothing to do with the 2025 car. So I'm so glad they changed their car, 95% of the car for 2025, that they're not going to use anything for 2026.
There is so much I do not understand about the inner workings of this team and their decision-making process at all.
It's mind-boggling, and I hope that this news means the 2026 car will be much better.
Let's hope so.
But there's no guarantees, and then again, just great that the whole reason for switching almost the entire car for 2020 season is to test things for 2026, and now we're not even gonna use that.
I still don't understand the logic behind what they did going from 24 into 25. I guess we'll see what happens when they go into preseason testing in a couple months, but I am just hoping whatever they do, it's better than this year.
Agreed. It has to be. Or they're going to
Well,
lose both drivers.
F1 is considering introducing mandatory two-stop races in 2026 to reduce tire saving and improve on track action. We saw this in Monaco and it didn't go as well as it suggested that it might. So what do you think?
Well, the thing is, I love some of that. So they have a couple of ideas. One is two stops with no compound rules, which means you can change the same tire compound. You don't have to go soft, medium, medium, hard, soft, hard, or whatever. I think that's definitely going to be a shit show because in Monaco, there were two stops, but at least they mandated a change in compounds. And again, it really didn't improve the racing. So I think that's not the best strategy.
No, I think they need to say, like, you have to have a stop by a certain lap time, at least
So
maybe for Monaco, because that was part of the challenge.
that's one of the options. So they want to limit how much you can do on one tire, and they would, I think the proposal is 45% of race distance. I think that's a good idea. The problem, well, not the problem, but sometimes like you have these amazing drives where the drivers just manage the tire to an absolute magical degree. And of course, I'm talking about Monza 2024, where Leclerc managed those tires because he was the reason he won from fourth was that he was one of the only front runners. I think he was the only front runner who did a one-stop strategy. And that tire management was just a sight to
Phenomenal.
behold.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do kind of lose that, but listen, if it creates more on-track action, I think I would be fine with losing that. And the final change is they require to use all three tire compounds. Now that
Oh.
is interesting because as we saw in Austin and Mexico, hard compounds were just disastrous. But if
Yes.
every team had to use them, that could have produced interesting results depending on when they decided to use them.
Oh, for sure. I like that they are entertaining the conversation to do things to make more action within the races because it would just be nice to see.
I agree. I mean, the only thing is sometimes, and I think Mexico is a good example of that, the two-stop versus one-stop strategy, that actually makes it exciting, but it only makes it exciting because the cars can't overtake each other. So I really
Right.
hope that problem is solved first. So we've mentioned before that Mohammed Ben Salim, who is the current head of FIA, is running unopposed because he has to nominate representatives from each continent. And there's only one candidate from South America. And she is supporting Mohammed Ben Salim, so she's his representative. So no other candidate can have a representative for South America, which means that he is the only one who can run and win. So one of the other candidates or proposed candidates, Lara Villars, filed a lawsuit against FIA's electoral rules. She's requesting that the election scheduled for December 12th be suspended until a ruling is issued. And it issues is exactly what I said before, is that there's only one candidate from South America that can be nominated as a representative, and Mohammed Ben Salim already nominated her.
And
So
isn't
obviously,
that candidate Bernie Eccleston's wife?
I wanted to keep it as a reference for the next lawsuit because that doesn't involve Bernie Ecclestone directly.
Speaking of lawsuits and Brazil, the pre-trial hearing began in London in the case of former Formula One Ferrari driver Felipe Massa, who is suing Formula One management. It's then head Bernie Eccleston, whose wife is the only representative, as we mentioned, for South America and the FIA to recognize him as the rightful champion in 2008, which was won by Lewis Hamilton, as well as £64 million in damages. So many goodies have already come out of this trial, Ina, so let's talk about a few of them.
Absolutely. Just to set the scene, so 2008 Drivers' Championship was extremely close. Don't have exact, but I think Lewis Hamilton won by just a handful of points, less than 10. So the result of any race could be determinative of who win. Which, if we remember, the 2008 was the year of the Crashgate, brings this whole lawsuit into being. So Massa said that his Ferrari F1 team was unhappy with comments that he made in the late 2009 about Fernando Alonso's role in Crashgate of the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix. Now, for everyone who may not have paid attention when we brought Crashgate over and over again in our podcast, the public did not know about the Crashgate until 2009. So in his witness statement, Massa said, in October 2009, I told journalists that I believed Fernando Alonso knew it was on purpose. I think we all knew it was on purpose. And I think based on Alonso's cameo in F1 movie, Lewis Hamilton knew it was on purpose and made a whole movie about it.
That was gold.
To add more fuel to that fire, Bernie Eccleston admitted that Formula One management and FIA knew about Crashgate in late 2008 and did nothing to change the results of the championship, which means basically what I think Massa wanted them to do is to nullify the results from 2008. And that would just effectively mean Massa would have the most points and he wins the championship. And by the way, Massa, I don't think he finished that race or... The safety car caused by the crash gate was the thing that caused him not to end up where he's supposed to be. So, of course, he wants that whole result nullified. And Formula One management's defense is great. I think, Aaron, you especially will appreciate it.
Oh, I this, do. I loved reading this.
The simple fact that over the course of both Singapore Grand Prix and across 2008 season, Mr. Hamilton outperformed Mr. Massa and everyone else.
He did. And I would say, I think this would set a really bad to reverse any of this. I feel like it's opening Pandora's box or a can of worms that nobody, especially the FIA or the Formula One management, would want to entertain, because Hamilton lost to Nico Rosberg by 1 point. I am sure there is some race in that season that Hamilton could probably say, bad decision was made.
Let's yeah, they crashed into each other a few times.
You
so
know,
he could
like,
say Rosberg did it on purpose, so negate
right.
those results.
So therefore, he should be a 9-time champion. And I think actually two other seasons, like the result of one or two things happening in races did change the course of him being champion. In 2021, Abu Dhabi is a perfect example.
Well, for that one, I think he should litigate.
Well, I think they should litigate that one. I think he even appealed it, and the decision came back that it was human error on Michael Massey's part.
But I think you should create a lawsuit so that he would be recognized as the winner.
Right.
Because this is the difference between 2021 situation and 2008. Because the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix is not the last race. So no matter what happened, you can never predict what would happen afterwards if the results were different or were nullified. There's
right.
too many factors.
Too many factors.
2021, Abu Dhabi was the last race.
And this, we're and talking like the last few laps.
Literally, it's the one thing that decided the whole thing.
Yeah, so I would say Hamilton should litigate it. I mean, I don't know.
I just think like it's interesting because I don't think I've read somewhere that Massa, it's not that he wants Hamilton to be stripped of the title or him officially be the champion for 2020. He just wanted to be recognized that he should have been the champion. And I think if
That's
Lewis
absurd.
Hamilton...
absurd. Lewis Hamilton should have been the champion in 2021.
I think he should sue. I'm serious. I'm shocked we don't have this type of lawsuit from Lewis Hamilton. Granted, he's still on the grid, so how much does he want to annoy FIA? But on the other hand, they did him so wrong. Like, he can't.
Oh, so wrong. Well, maybe he waits till he retires or see what happens and what precedent is set here. I mean, I just think...
I don't think he will do it. I have to tell the truth, he won't.
2021 should be overturned, in my biased and my professional opinion, given what happened.
I think even George Russell agrees with you.
I think, honestly, I even heard Max say in an interview, like, I don't really know how, but...
But he loves to say that he's a four-time world champion.
Right. But you
so
could
he's
unwind
full
that
of
entire
hypocrisy
season.
And contradictions.
Oh, completely. But you could unwind that entire season and say, oh, they made a bad call towards Max in this race. They got Lewis back in this. I mean, I just think this is going to be a can of worms that would not behoove them to really entertain all the way through. So I'm hoping, you know, they don't recognize him, don't unwind it, you know, the whole thing. But speaking of Nico and Hamilton, obviously they were friends, then they weren't. But Nico was recently riding in a taxi with his daughter, and the taxi driver made a comment and said that Nico was the best driver in the world. His daughter apparently quickly piped up and said, no, that's Lewis Hamilton.
I think that's cute from the mouth of babes.
Exactly.
So I think, and by the way, that taxi driver was obviously just being
fanboying, fangirling, whatever.
I don't believe
it was.
Even that person believed that Nico Rosberg was the best.
Now that was a
driver
stretch.
In
but
the world. Yeah.
Speaking of fanboying and fangirling, there's quite a few memes going around about this last one, and it's your favorite driver. So do you want to take it?
Sure. Yeah, the memes have been the best thing that has happened from this announcement. It is Charles Leclerc getting engaged to his girlfriend, Alexandra Saint-Bleu.
Congratulations.
Yes. And the ring, well,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And he did not go cheap. It's
Thank goodness.
Rumored to be worth $525,000.
Did you see Carlos Sainz's tweet? He retweeted the image of them engaged, and he goes, what was the question? And Charles goes, will you marry me? And Carlos goes, yes, I will.
I thought that was funny, but I think my favorite one is that everyone's making memes of the fact. So obviously, since his girlfriend's name is Alexander, she goes by Alex. So everyone is memeing the face of Alex Albon.
I can only imagine the conversation that George Russell's girlfriend Carmen of like 9 years is having with him. Kelly has a baby with Max.
Oh,
and
Kelly
no
must
diamond
be
ring. She must
Kelly
be
must
fuming.
Be so fuming because she has called him her husband. And I remember, oh yeah, there was
oh I know
there
I
was
know.
An event, I want to say Portugal or Spain, but anyway, and the interviewer actually said, oh, did you get married? And then she had to walk that back. Oof, that must have been so embarrassing.
So painful. And then even Carlos. So I can only imagine. And Alex Albon, they all have. And even Oscar, I think his girlfriend was his college sweetheart. So I
well,
can only
Oscar's
imagine
still
how
younger than the
thrilled
rest of these.
the other drivers are.
Right. I think my favorite, it's got to be Carlos Sainz because his girlfriend is friends with Charles Leclerc's girlfriend, and she is all over social media congratulating them, be so enthusiastic. And Carlos Sainz, in every interview, when somebody asks him when he's getting engaged, has said it's going to be years. He must be sweating bullets right now.
Of course he is, and rightfully so. But we will see them sweat bullets pretty soon on the racetrack.
Absolutely. Well, that's a wrap on our Brazil Grand Prix predictions. Interlagos never fails to deliver drama. And with a sprint weekend on deck, this one feels especially unpredictable. Between McLaren's title fight, which is very tight, Verstappen lurking just behind, and Ferrari's superstar pairing of Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc finding their rhythm, there's no shortage of storylines heading into Sao Paulo. Add in the looming threat of rain and a packed weekend schedule, and we are guaranteeing chaos from start to finish.
Thanks for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
But also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, Your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your favorite rain whisperer. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.